not actually a business partner, but a friend who made this business really sparkle. And his name was Peter Johngren, and he was a retired psychiatrist from Bassett Hospital and also a very fine photographer, nature photographer in his own right, and also a canoeist. And Peter Johngren took my ideas and my images, and with his digital expertise, an expertise I did not have, nor did I want to know, and together we worked these images into almost a perfection. And so it was with his assistance and his interest and his love in doing this that Natura Productions, I think, produced some pretty fine photographs, graphics, and posters. Peter died recently, a year ago. And so, what that has done for me is it has stopped me producing new things right now, and it has put me into a focus of spending more time selling the inventory of things that I already have, which is also a very interesting marketing strategy and fun.
I noticed on your website it says that Natura products benefit some organizations. What
Yes, a
organization?
portion of any of the profits of Natura Productions benefit any organization that wishes to approach me, that has an interest in saving our natural world. So, I donate profits to various museums. I donate profits, to our some of our various local environmental organizations and to education.
Oh, nice. Would you like to talk about the education aspect?
Sure. There are various school programs that are focusing on New York State history or history. And if they come to me with a project that needs some funding, I will consider that as well.
So there was actually a question I wanted to ask you a little bit more about your association with the Lake Otsego or the Otsego Lake Association. I wanted to ask you about some of the projects that your organization has done for the community, and if there's one in particular that you are very fond of.
Okay. The Otsego Lake Association is responsible for many, many projects, and as we are funded only by our membership, and we are funded by donation. Okay, one of our projects is we support the dive team. The dive team puts in and takes out all of the no-wake zone buoys around the lake. Those buoys are warning buoys that tell people to slow down when they're in a certain at a certain distance from shore. So we support the dive team, and we also support the product because there's a certain number of buoys each year that are destroyed or are, need to be replaced. So we fund the dive team. We do another incredible project from which, with the Otsego County Conservation Association, we got a grant to install a boat wash station at Lakefront Park. Because one of our main concerns is the invasive species that enter our lake as a result of careless boaters and careless fishermen and dirty boats, basically. So we have the village of Cooperstown has given us the permission and the place. We're using the village water and the village sewer, and we are making sure that boats are inspected and washed before they enter and leave the lake. Before they enter and when they leave the lake. This supports a New York State law which no longer allows boats and trailers with any weed or any mud or any water in the hull to be transported on state roads. So that project has just been completed, and we will have our grand opening of that in spring. And we have dedicated that to Carl B. Good, who was our deceased member of our organization, who was very much invested in the boat washing inspectors and so on and so forth. We train inspectors and we train boat stewards to educate people. So education is another big part of our mission, and we have several publications that we have produced, and those are most interesting to me because I supplied a lot of the graphics for those and was a part of getting those produced. So those are just several things. We also do fund educational school projects when they come to us. We've also purchased a drone for the biological field station. The purpose of that being to do aerial views of mud plumes in the lake after rainstorms to show where sediment is flowing into the lake. We have some very good photos of that from aerial views from a pilot previously. And it's becoming increasingly hard to find people to do that and also to engage people at the time when you need them, which is, you know, at a perfect storm, so to speak. So we have donated this drone, and we are hoping that that will be one of the aspects in which it will be used. Those are just a few things.
You talked about mud plumes. What procedure would have to be done for those mud plumes or after you find them?
Okay. So as a result, we find that sediment flows in from bare steep slopes. Sediment flows in from creeks along which agriculture or cows or whatever might be placed. Sediment flows in from areas in which there's no kind of buffer between the land and the water. And one of our not only educational programs but also a demonstration program is, and you can go and see this, is the buffer strip at Lakefront Park, which we have built not only as an educational tool but to mitigate flowing salts, whatever coming from the streets into the lake. So buffering is one good way to stop the flow of sediment into the lake.
That's great. with that notion of conservation, there's been a recent discussion on the news about the Constitution Pipeline, and I was wondering what your thoughts were about that with your association and anything like that.
The Otsego Lake Association has not weighed in on the Constitution Pipeline, but one other organization that I have been on the board is the Otsego 2000, is an environmental organization in our community. And Otsego 2000 has become very involved in the pipeline and very concerned about the compressor stations in particular that are along the way and are very close to communities.
Is there a plan or action maybe that they may be going through with? Or
I can say that as far as Otsego 2000 is concerned, we are using whatever legal resources we have when necessary, and we are funding some monitoring devices.
Oh, okay. What kind of monitoring devices?
They would be monitoring material and so on and so forth involved in the pipeline. I'm not exactly clear what the devices are.
Okay. So I'm going to backtrack just a little bit, if that's okay.
Sure.
With you, on your artwork, because I find that to be beautiful and very interesting.
Thank you.
So a lot of your artwork is based on wood. Is that just from the interest in the antiques, or is there further aspect to that.
All right. I guess what I should say is when I started Natura Productions, I was looking for one beginning image that would start this business and that I also would find kind of moving to me. And so we had a very large rare book collection, all having to do with antique boats. My husband amassed this collection and also a duplicate collection for the Wooden Canoe Heritage Association. So you can see he was really steeped in history about boats. And I thought maybe I could start looking at some of these books and looking at some of the old images in these books and see if there was something that drew my attention to kind of start this process. I have all these things to look at and to go through, and what would I choose? So I came across this book. It was called The Rhythm of the Red Man. It was written by Julia Bouttry. She was the wife of Ernest Thompson Seton. And of course, Ernest Thompson Seton was a great naturalist and camper and canoeist, and wrote many, many books on the subjects of the outdoors. I started looking through this book, and in the back of this book and throughout this book, there were some of the most beautiful, colorful plates, and one of them just struck me. It was called Painted Paddles, and its mate was called Painted Canoes. And these were images that Ernest Thompson Seton had seen. He was did a lot of living in the Southwest, that he had seen or that he owned. And he had drawn these and painted them as he remembered them or as he saw them in his own collection. They were basically Southwest Native American images. Spiritual, talismanic, colorful Native American drawings and paintings. So I started, this book was in the 1930s, so I started the process, something I'd never done, about copyrights and so on and so forth, and chased that, and finally got that satisfied so that I could start producing this. So Peter Johngren and I took these two plates, and we experimented with various background colors. The colors were white, of course, in the book. Background colors, various different arrangements of the paddles and the canoes, and so on and so forth, and finally came up with what we thought was a really nice image. And so we titled it exactly that, Painted Paddles and Painted Canoes. And I struck a deal with Cuga Press in Ithaca to have these printed in two sizes, a frameable print size and a heavy glossy poster size. And that was the thing that started me, this Native American idea. So I created a Native American collection in which I took the painted canoes and painted paddles and I rearranged them in all different sizes and shapes and so on and so forth. I did a t-shirt, I did a cap with those with that same theme. And so that was sort of the beginning, I guess. That was the initial start. And so then I started looking at some of the other photographs I had of basically rare canoes that either we owned or I had seen. Kind of the same thing as Ernest Thompson Seton. And I started taking these photographs and getting ideas as to how they would be most evocative, and Peter would perfect them as in terms of, you know, color and everything. And so I would have those printed so that I'd have some inventory, and I called that the Still Point Collection because I thought those were very much more moving kinds of things. And I found this poem by T.S. Eliot about the still point. At the still point of the turning world, neither from nor toward, there the dance is. So I made a collection that I felt was very kind of intimate and moving, and emotional when you looked at these works of art, basically. And then, of course, you know, I had a nice collection of old postcards and what I called kind of nostalgic things. And so I did a nostalgic collection of more Victorian images. And then I went into note cards and souvenir paddles and that sort of thing from that. And then it all kind of went full circle back to the whole wood idea. And so I decided to have a reverence for wood collection, which had some relevance to water, but still was more about wood. And so this is how things morph, you know. So I ended up with kind of a complete Natura Productions collection. That's sort of the way it just went. And Peter and I worked so well together and got to know each other so well over the years. And, he was very, very instrumental in kind of, you know, giving me input and feedback and on these things. So that's where we are today.
If you could continue, what do you foresee your artwork maybe turning into, your next kind of inspiration, if you have one?
I am at a place right now where I'm trying to exactly figure that out. And I don't have the answer for you today. But I definitely feel that with Peter's death and my kind of standing still at this moment and not going forward, I have always had the idea that perhaps some of these images, especially the Native American ones, could be incorporated into soft goods like quilts and sheets and things like that. I've always wanted to kind of pursue that. So maybe down the road something like that. I sort of suspect that what will happen with me now is, rather than producing something new, finding a new way to use some of the things I already have produced.
Nice. You were talking about some of your quotes, which I love, on your website, and there was one in particular. It was, "What is a substance with a soul?" Can you maybe talk a little bit about that quote?
Absolutely, absolutely. That came from my interest in spalted wood. What is spalted wood? Spalted wood is wood that has begun to decay because it has been exposed to water. So there was a connection that I could make between water and wood, since Natura Productions was all about water and wood. And way back when we first moved here into this house, my husband Dave became very well acquainted with Dennis Tallman, who was very fine, Tallman Tree Enterprises, who was a tree service. And so Dave would always say to Dennis, "If you come across any really neat wood, bring it on over, you know." So Dennis brought to us these chunks of spalted wood, which were a tree he'd obviously had decayed, or was decaying, he had taken down, and brought them to us. And I remember them always being here in one of the outbuildings. And when Dave passed away, I was constantly moving these big chunks of wood from one place to another to get store this or find this or get to this. Finally, I decided it's time for something to be done with this wood. I'm going to find an artist who is going to be able to make this beautiful wood into something. What's gorgeous about this wood is that these fungi that live in there make their mark by making all these gorgeous black lines and swirls and shapes within this wood. And artists make bowls out of them, they make candlesticks out of them, they make all kinds of items like that, which are extremely interesting because of all these beautiful black lines in them. And so I thought there must be some artist that would do something like that. So I contacted a few. They came over, we looked at the wood, and finally the end result was, "Oh, I guess I'll just do it myself." Now, I am not a sculptor. I am not a carver. But again, like Natural Productions, I'm an idea person. So anyway, I started taking this wood, looking at it, and finding people that could make beautiful objects. So the first object I started out with was this sphere, which I had to send away to Boston to a commercial company who had a lathe the size that could turn a sphere this size. And then I contacted another artist who was able to design a base for it, and then another craftsman who could build the base for it. And so I kept doing that with these pieces of wood, creating a shape or an idea, and then taking it to the people who I knew could do the work. And then I would do all the finish work. I would do all the sand, the final sanding, all the coats of varnish, and so on and so forth. So I had a part in it. Once we revealed what was inside of this wood, there were actual like cave drawings inside of there. And so I started taking camera to hone in, to close up on these designs, and I created 6 or 8 or more photographs of these spalted drawings. And so I would do shows where I would use the sculptures as kind of the stage set and then sell the actual prints that I made from the drawings of the wood. What was your question?
I think you just about answered it. It was very interesting.
About wood. About
yes.
Wood.
It was about the quote, wood is substance of the soul.
So absolutely it does. When you look inside of these, and later I'll show you these sculptures and I'll show you these prints, and you will be amazed at the living things that are inside of this wood.
So you have such a passion for the connection with the woods and outdoors. Was that brought about from your husband's work, or is that something that you guys share together?
This is something we shared together. I was definitely brought along with this by him, even though I had the innate sense. I always lived in the country. My parents had a lovely summer home in the Finger Lakes with a 22-mile view of Canandaigua Lake. And my mother and father were always very just in love with the view, the views, and, you know, and the natural world there. And so I was always brought up with that love by my family. And then Dave, because he was canoe camp counselor with the old, big old, heavy old town canoes, and, you know, loved the water and loved canoeing, and also grew up in a rural area. So we kind of brought that together within us. And after living in the Adirondacks for a while and then coming here, you know, and finding this natural spot, and then the interest in canoes and water, I think it's just something sort of grew and blossomed that we did share.
Wow, that's great. Let's see, what else did I want to ask you? let's see. How did you get involved with the Waigatsigo Association? I don't know if I
well,
had a chance to ask you
exactly. it was because of Natura Productions. When I first started Natura Productions, I went to an Otsego Lake Association Board of Directors meeting with some of the images that were particularly of and around Otsego Lake. And I was asking them if they and I could partner in a way by selling these, perhaps with their help, because they did sell merchandise for funding, and with my help, they could sell some of my Natura Productions things. I would donate a portion of the profit to them, and it would also help me because it would help me get those items seen. And so that's how I first met the board of directors of the Otsego Lake Association, by just going to a directors meeting and marketing my things. And so then I believe one of the board of directors passed on. I was asked, would I like to be on the board of directors? And so that's how it started.
Wow. And how did you get associated with the Otsego 2000? Was that...
Martha Fry was the executive director at the time. And Martha pulled me over one day and said, Otsego 2000's contributions to our environment have been very, very strong, but we don't feel that we really are doing enough concerning the lake. And Martha said, and I'm wondering, would you be interested in coming on our board of directors and being a liaison between Otsego Lake Association and us, or being a person that would specifically be promoting more projects concerning the lake? And so that's how I began there.
Wow, so we have a couple more minutes left, and I will ask you about what are some of the events that your organization is a part of? I noticed that it is a part of Otsego Lake Festival. What are some other aspects that it's involved with?
Are you talking about the Otsego Lake Association?
Yes.
Okay, Otsego Lake Association, we have several basic things that we do. We participate and also fund any lake festivals that are held. We have an annual meeting that is open to the public, which is both educational, scientific, and historic programs. We try to hold at an interesting location every year. We sponsor our third annual 4th of July boat parade. The purpose of that being just to camaraderie, just to get together, just to have a love and appreciation of the lake, and a fun event. Those are our main events that we sponsor.
Alrighty. Well, I would love for us to chat more. I thank you so much for being here with this interview and for answering all my questions. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
And thank you so much for all of your dedication and work that you've done throughout the years. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
All right.